Hello and welcome to another episode of Scare Traducing, the horror movie podcast for horror movie virgins. I'm Callum McNabb.
I'm Gisela Martinez.
And we are here for an episode which was promised for yesterday, but has been delayed by one day because Stranger Things Season 4 came out. So what we've been watching for the most part this weekend. And also because I purchased this film that we're talking about today on Blu-ray and it didn't get delivered until yesterday. I was hoping that by purchasing it on pre-order, you sometimes see people say like, oh, I got delivered, you know, 2 days in advance, 3 days in advance or whatever, just like a little surprise.
That didn't happen here.
That didn't happen for me. And that's why it's a day late, this episode. But hopefully, nobody's going to notice. Nobody's going to listen to this. For one reason, our podcast is named Scare Traducing, which is a name that people don't just Google because it's a completely made up word. So people aren't coming across it randomly. And secondly, the name of the film we are talking about today is Lux Aeterna, which again is not stuff that someone just Googles at random. Never mind the fact that it's spelled LVX, and then with that, I don't know how you say that symbol. Is that like ash or?
I don't know.
Remember Neon? Elon Musk and
his... Baby.
What's her name? Grimes? Is that who?
Grimes, yeah.
Yeah, that symbol's in
the Yeah, I don't know what the name of that symbol. It's an A and E together.
A and E together, and then Terna, Aeterna, Lux Aeterna. So, if you're listening to this episode, it's probably because you already know who we are, and you already follow us on Instagram and stuff, which, thanks, hello, welcome.
Yay.
And if you somehow managed to find us, please tell us how, because I don't understand SOE and the internet. I don't get it. I don't know how to promote things, especially not things like this.
Oh, well. That's fine.
So, anyway, moving on. We're talking Lux Aeterna. I promised this earlier in the month because there wasn't any horror films coming out towards the end of May. Again, as I've stressed already in our last episode, and I stressed also on ContraZoom. If you listen to ContraZoom Pod, you will have noticed that I guested on their Under the Skin episode recently. So go listen to that.
I did listen to, well, you forced me to listen to.
I think it's, I've listened to the episode twice.
But let me tell you, it is a really good episode.
It's a very good episode.
And I kind of want to watch the movie. So, yeah, well done, Callum.
Thank you.
And well done to
ContraZoom.
Yeah, I know that was a good episode. I actually like, I really, really like all the would you rather and questions things. I like that section. I did like that. And also your like rating of movies, how you give stars if you see penises. Yeah, so, yeah, great episode. So, come on, guys, listen to that ContraZoom episode. I totally recommend it.
Yes, I recommend it as well. But what I was going to say is that on both that episode of ContraZoom and our previous episode, which was Firestarter, on this podcast, I mentioned that everybody is probably thinking Alex Garland's new film, Men, which we're very excited to see, A24 horror.
Yes.
We like Alex Garland's stuff. It's the end of May, isn't it? It's the end of May. So why are you not doing that? Well, it's not the end of May here. It's the beginning of June. So I was like, let's do a film at the end of May. Let's have two films in May. And the only thing that I could see was that Lux Aeterna was going to get released on Blu-ray. It didn't get a cinema release here when it originally came out, which I believe is somewhere from 2019 onwards. I don't know when it actually was released.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time it's been out in the UK, as far as I'm aware. I am a big Gaspar Noé fan, so I thought, that's a good episode. That's going to bring up a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, God.
It's going to have a lot of opinions and fun.
Definitely,
I think. So, that's why we're doing Lux Aeterna, because I'm pretty sure most people listening to this are thinking, what film are you talking about? What is this? It's not mainstream by any stretch of the imagination.
Definitely, it's not. But I think people kind of know that about Gaspar Noé. Like, he's not that mainstream.
Yeah, people do or know that. Or people
that knows about him, at yeah. least they know, like, oh, that's the weirdo. You know,
the weirdo.
Like, yeah, you know, like, it's not like those directors that you see in Marvel or like
absolutely
or things like that. It's like, oh, I kind of know that name. It's a mm-hmm. really, it's a really original name. So I think at least just people heard that and it's like, oh yeah, that weird movie that he premiered in that festival or that other one, or people walk away, or that people like didn't clap or stand up, or, you know, like those yeah. kind of stuff. You hear the name with that controversial kind of material
sure.
stuff. That's what I'm saying. Like, people that knows about cinema or just basic cinema knows that he is definitely not mainstream.
No, he's not mainstream. Not yeah. by any stretch of the imagination. So, before we go any further, as of our last episode, I finally figured out after 3 years or so of doing this podcast what our tagline was. And so, it's a podcast about if you are trying to get into horror, is this a good place to start? And I want to know, Gisela, your opinion and why.
Why what?
Is this the question I just asked?
Sorry, I was daydreaming.
Good daydreams? Thinking about anything exciting?
Yeah, we'll do the weekend. Anyway.
It is Tuesday.
Excuse me, but it's a long weekend here in the UK because of the Jubilee thing.
Yes.
So basically, that tomorrow for me it starts. I know it's Wednesday. I'm not going to do anything. Sorry, what's the question?
Is this a good place to start if you or someone you know is trying to get into horror cinema? Yes or no? And why do you feel that way?
Yes. Why? Because I say so.
You think this is a good place to start?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. I thought you were going to have the exact opposite.
Come, of course not.
Oh, I didn't realize you were being sarcastic.
No.
Because I think yes.
What?
I'm going to get into why, but I want to know why you think
no. I want to know why you are saying why.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Oh.
I'm trying to bring positivity to the world.
Okay. Okay.
So, I agree with you that if you're trying to get into horror cinema or whatever, this is not the film to put on.
Oh,
I
do agree
with that statement, so I'm kind of already contradicting myself. But I think if you're trying to get into extreme cinema, which is a subsection of horror, definitely, which includes the likes of Gaspar Noé and Takashi Miike.
Yeah, but would you start if there's someone asks, you know what, I want to start into Gaspar Noé, would you recommend this movie? No.
Yes, I would.
No, you won't recommend the other ones.
No, I would. And I would give you a reason why. There are,
because it's short. There you go, you have a taste off. But okay, fair enough, tell me why.
I didn't realize I had offended you with my opinion.
Oh no, you offended me by make me watch this movie. Oh my god, okay. I can't wait to start talking about okay. this.
So, what I think is, yes, I agree with you, there are other films of his I would recommend as well. For example, Climax. I think Climax is his best film. I think that without a shadow of a doubt. However, this one, as you say, short. Short but sweet. So, if you're trying to get on the boat for extreme cinema, it's going to take less than an episode of Stranger Things. This film is 51 minutes long. Whereas most of the episodes, in fact, all the episodes in the new Stranger Things season are over an hour. So, it's not going to waste too much of your time. Two, it's not violent. It's not a violent film. It's not graphic. There's no, for example, Irreversible, which is the first film of his I saw, and obviously has the reputation for very graphic murder scene, and then later in the film, a very graphic rape scene. Unless, of course, you watch the recut version, which is told from chronologically. Which the rape scene would happen first if that was the case, but is a very violent film. So it's short, it's not violent, it's not gory, and the third point is that it introduces you to a bunch of names that you can then spiral off. So you could go down a Gaspar Noé rabbit hole, and you would end up with, as I say, Climax, Love 3D, Irreversible, I Stand Alone, all that sort of stuff. Or you could go down Charlotte Gainsbourg, who is the main star of this movie, and she is in, of course, Antichrist, which is probably the first film of extreme cinema I ever saw. I remember going to the cinema with two friends, and the reason we went was there was like a little warning flyers they handed out, mm-hmm. probably marketing, but, and it said like, rated 18, this film contains graphic violence, something else, and genital mutilation. And we were, I just remember at the time, we were like, wait, how can this be a legally released film? We just didn't get it. We were like, what the fuck is this? And obviously, teenage boys were like, let's go test our limits, see what this is like. So, Charlotte Gainsbourg, you're going down that rabbit hole. Or Beatrice Dahl, I think is her name, is the other star of this movie. She's in Inside, which is a really famous French, what do they call it? New French Extremity is this sort of subgenre of films. You get down that rabbit hole. Abby Lee and Carl, I don't even know his surname, they're in this film. They are also in The Neon Demon, which you can go down that rabbit hole. Now, some people might say The Neon Demon doesn't class as extreme cinema, but it does have a pretty lengthy necrophiliac scene. It does have a woman vomiting up an eyeball, so it's not the most violent thing, like, you know, Irreversible, but for like some of my friends who don't watch horror films, if I had said, put on The Neon Demon, they would probably turn around and be like, what the fuck are you making me watch? So you get, I think, in this 51 little minute package, you get all this potential furthering of your experience.
Okay.
Just, so this is your starting point, and you just branch off wherever you want to go. Is it the best thing he's made? No. Is it the best thing you're going to see of that subgenre of films? No. But it's going to take you less than an hour to do it and then decide, did I enjoy that?
No.
Or do I want to go further? That's why
that's
I'm saying glass half full, yes.
I just think
people, this is your starting point, virgins. This is it.
I just feel people are going to say, no, I don't like it. I watched this for a start. Okay, you asked me, would you recommend it? No. Why? Because I watched it and I thought it wasn't, this is not horror.
You think this isn't horror?
I think it's not horror.
Okay.
It's just, and I was trying to avoid this word because you were saying, well, that's what horror does to you. But yeah, like a thriller can do that. You know? Yes, it just makes me feel uncomfortable because you have this flashing light in my fucking face all the time. And that's it. That's what the part that makes you feel uncomfortable. And that's no horror.
Why is that no horror?
Because that can be a thriller. A thriller can make you feel like on edge. Like, it make you feel like, you know, like, oh my God, Camry, come on. Just like, find the person who's there. Just hide, don't make a noise. Things like that. That can be a thriller. It can be a drama also. A drama can be really dramatic. Yeah. Exactly. But it's no horror. This is no horror. Like, just, anyway, that's just me.
But
I wouldn't recommend it? Because this is no horror. I don't think this is like a strong, not even a strong movie. It is short. That's the only good thing about this movie. Like, thank God it's short. But yeah, no, I don't think it's horror.
Right. It might not be, you know, traditional horror in the sense of scare you, keep you awake at night, jump scares, etc. But it is definitely an example of extreme cinema, which to me falls under the branch of horror. For example, this film ended and you got up and went to the window to get a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, but I've done that with so many movies. Like, with Fury, it's an action movie.
Yeah.
I remember being like, oh my God. I can never see this movie. I'm not going to see this movie again. It is really good. I'm just like, and I felt like I didn't have air. It's happened the same time. And is this an action movie? No.
No.
But it has, because, well, I don't know if you want to talk already about this.
Yeah, let's get into it. Yeah.
But it has like a 10-minute flashing part of the movie, like just like the end part. And I was like, this is just annoying. Like, I don't know if something else is going to happen in this movie. I cannot see properly, but I don't know. And I was like, this is so annoying. Like, it's just annoying. You know, even if you put just a sound just being like for 10 minutes, eventually you're going to go mad. You're going to be like, oh my God, this is so annoying. Like, it's not even like, I just, you say, okay, there's no scaring me or anything. It's just annoying. I can do that too.
Yeah, I agree.
And I've done it to you before, like just being me with a pencil, just doing like, and you're like, could you stop that? And I'm like, okay. Or me just doing like a ding, 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 ding. And you're like, can you stop, please? And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Why do you always make it sound like I'm an absolute arsehole? No, no, no. Every time we do this podcast,
because it's the only example I have.
When was the time that Callum got annoyed at me and I sounded like an absolute dick? Say something nice about me, please. No,
but
please, go on. You always make me sound like a dick on this podcast.
I like your face.
Thanks very much.
No, but as I say, you're the only person that I do remember examples like this when I was in the office. If someone will just do something constantly and someone was like, can you please stop?
Yeah.
But you are the only person that I have in front of me for the last, what, almost 3 years now?
Yeah.
That we've been working for home, 2 years and a half?
2 years and a bit, yeah.
And I just remember that me doing constant, and you were like, can you stop? But it's the same of this. And so I'm a horror movie.
No.
I'm a horror action, or is making the pencil like making a noise constantly, is that like a horror action? I don't know.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying
this doesn't qualify as horror to you.
No, it doesn't.
Right. But this is how we're viewing things differently. You are just seeing it as deliberately annoying, essentially.
Yes.
Which I can agree with. It sort of is. But to me, it is almost as if Gaspar Noé is trying to, and I don't know if this is his actual thoughts or feelings on it, because I haven't listened to any interviews by him, but it's like cinema as if it was physical torture, like actual torture. As in, it's deliberately trying to get you to turn it off, and not with the violence, not with the gore or the upsetting nature of what is happening, where people are walking out because, you know, people walking out, or the person who fainted when we saw Titan because it was too violent or whatever. This is literally just him flashing a strobe in your face for an extended period of time and basically saying, here's your limit. Are you going to go on with it or not? And the credits are all strobed, and then the strobes, the screen ends up being split into three, and the strobes become out of sync. So it's like strobing within strobing, and it's not black and white strobing, it's like green, red, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is horror. It's a different beast. It's a different nature of what horror can be, but it is definitely meant to unsettle and anger and annoy and bring out these sort of emotions in you, which is what I think horror is meant to do. Not every horror thing terrifies you. The Boogeyman, the Stephen King story, we just talked about it the other day because I just reread it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work for me. It doesn't scare me. I think it's a bit silly in parts. That doesn't mean I don't think it's a horror, and I think it's silly. That's a bit of a cheap argument, I suppose.
If I Google this movie, what was a horror?
I think it'll probably say art film.
Exactly.
But so art films can have genres in themselves.
Yeah, and probably it's no horror because you maybe don't know what's the subgenre, what it is of this, and you're just saying like, oh, let's put in horror. But maybe it's something else.
That's fine, but some people would say that Silence of the Lambs isn't a horror film. I still classify it as one. Some people say Jaws isn't a horror film. It's like an adventure thriller. I still classify it as a horror film.
Well, let me tell you what Google says. It's a drama experimental.
Yeah, experimental.
So there you go. It's not a horror.
To me, it's experimenting exactly with horror ideology. It's talking about witches and stuff.
So would you say then, but it doesn't need to be horror only because there's a witch there.
I agree.
But, so would you say that people that, artsy people,
mm-hmm.
that put those displays and do things and, so they are experimental horror things, you know, like...
What displays?
They sometimes do galleries and it's like, oh, I'm going to have an exhibition and then you're going to be like an immersive experience and then you hear this and or whatever. So you are classifying that as a horror because it's playing with your sense.
I need to see these exhibitions you're talking about.
Yeah, sometimes, right? I don't know, like, they're putting things...
You're assuming that because it's horror, it can't be anything else. Whereas I'm saying it can be more than one thing. I think one of the things it is horror.
Oh, it can be more than one thing. I just think horror is not one of those things.
Okay, fine. But I think it's more extreme cinema than it is horror, but I think extreme cinema falls under the branch of horror, the way that slashers fall under horror, etc. But you could make a slasher that is funny and is a comedy, but it's still playing with horror iconography. To me, this is the same thing.
Well,
but it's done, an extreme cinema version. And as I say, Gaspar Noé, to me, Irreversible is a moralistic drama about is revenge ever justified or not. It's still a horror film to me. It still deals with some of the most brutal things a person can do to someone else. But the last hour of that movie is a romantic drama because the people are in love and they don't know what's going to happen to them.
I never thought that one was a horror movie. Yeah, I know it's you, but
again,
I'm not
saying it is a horror film. I'm saying part of it can be classified as horror. It is also other things. Like, you could ball it all up.
No, fair enough.
And expand out that ball, and one of the words I would use is horror.
Well, okay.
Like a word chart.
No, fair enough, but that, again, answer your question. Would you recommend this one? No. Why? Because it's not a horror. And I googled that, and it described drama /
experimental.
That's how I will describe this movie. First 10 minutes, boring part to woman talking. The next 30 minutes, it's just a mess. People bumping into each other, talking. Everybody's talking in French or maybe in English. Last 10 minutes, it's just the Strokes. And that's a movie. Yeah,
the Strokes.
Well, that's a movie. That's a movie for you. And I found it so boring.
Right.
So boring. And the last part, I just found it annoying.
Okay. So you don't think there's any worth in a film... Essentially, what it's about is they are making a film about witches. That's what they're doing in the film. It's a film within a film. And the film set basically is chaotic. The producers, who are men, want to fire Beatrice Dahl, who is the director. She's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So you find no value in this idea of the ideas of what is art when it comes up against commercial sensibilities, i.e. I've put my money into this, but I think it's going to shit, and so I want to change it. So you're removing the artist. Do you see what I'm getting at or not?
Yeah, but just...
You think there's no value in that? Like, this movie is about that, essentially.
Well, I don't know anything about that, and I wasn't...
No, but it's not...
But sometimes, I know it's not that I don't know anything, but sometimes the movie makes you care. Like,
right.
Okay, I'm interested, tell me more. I just didn't. It's just like, I never connect a little bit just to pay attention. I was watching, but I wasn't actually paying attention.
Okay.
And I just know my kind of movie.
Do you think art cinema is important? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Do you think art cinema has a part to play in culture?
I will say probably, but...
Right, that's
what
this is about.
But it's, again, I think it's something I wouldn't watch. And I wouldn't buy, I wouldn't pick. But I know there's a lot of movies, and people that will definitely like the movie or will examine the movie or will get inspired by it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get inspired by this. It's not adding anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just, again, for example, I can, when we were watching the movie, the 10 first, 10 minutes? 10
or
first
so,
minute,
yeah.
It's just two women talking and the screen splits. Yeah. I can feel that you were enjoying. I was like, oh, this is his kind of stuff. This is his kind of stuff. And I ask you, can you feel my vibe? I ask you.
Yeah, but I've been wrong with your vibe before.
But
I thought you hated Dune.
Well, but Dune is an adventure thing.
But I sat the entire time thinking, she hates this, she's about to walk out. I felt your vibe, as you say. And then we got out of the cinema and you said, I loved it. That was amazing.
Love
or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
I love that.
I've
one.
Been wrong before, so I was sitting watching this, going, "Yeah, I can get the vibe." Again, it's not tangible, but you're sitting next to me on the sofa, and I'm sort of thinking, "She's not into this." But one, I've been wrong before. And two, we went to the cinema and saw Love 3D, for example. Oh, we went to the cinema and saw Climax. On. But what I'm saying is, you might not have liked Love 3D. You might have. I can't remember. It's so long since we saw it. But when then Climax came out 3 years later, and I was like, let's go and see this new Gaspar Noé film, you didn't turn around and go, nah, we already saw Love and I hated it or whatever. You were like, yeah, sure, why not? And I believe you like Climax. I could be wrong, but I think you like Climax.
Like, for example, if you ask
so
me...
So I could be like, do you know what? Maybe she is into this.
No, but if you ask me Climax, okay, what was it about? Well, this dancers and blah, 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 whatever. But if the first scene, the dance, is like, wow. You know, like, oh my God, the music and then the walking around the rooms. Like, that was quite so good. I loved it. Love 3D. Of course, you know what I'm going. Like, it's just something so different. Like,
it's a pornographic film in 3D.
It's so different.
Makes no sense.
It's exactly. But that was like, fair enough. Here, what's the difference? The 10 minutes of the just the lights in my face? I didn't enjoy that. Like, I don't know. I don't know what you're getting from this. Like, I already mentioned all these bits.
Mm-hmm.
What's your bit from this?
What do you mean, what's my bit?
Climax is a dance scene. Love
is... Climax is more than the dance scene.
But the one... I know, but that's like a... Like the main one. Like, you know.
But that's
like,
right at the start. So then it comes down from there, essentially.
No, but then it has a story and you follow different characters and whatever, whatever. And everybody start getting, like, high or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll just start seeing something. What's your, like, thing from this movie?
That I will never forget. The strobe sequence at the end, of course.
Yeah, but that was bad.
Okay, I didn't think it was bad,
Okay. Yes, fair enough. But the start, just two women talking, I thought...
But they're talking
like...
about stuff that I'm interested in, or at least I think has some sort of value, as in they're talking about, we're trying to make this film and it's not going to plan, and the producers, they're fucking dickheads, they're stereotypes, they're caricatures, they just want money, money, money and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, we have an art film here that's 50 minutes long, and it's talking about the nature of art films, and when you have the stress and the pressure from a producer to try and make it as commercially viable as possible, how do you reconcile those two things? Because realistically, art films don't make money. That they are a losing battle. So you have to ask yourself, is art important? If it's important, then does it matter that you're going to lose money and you need to make it elsewhere? All this stuff I'm thinking about watching this. And then it gets into, there's a sides of misogyny, which is, are they trying to remove her just because she's a woman? I don't know. But the movie's certainly playing with ideas that I think it's not nothing. And the film set goes into chaos. And then that chaos basically bleeds off the screen, where you just get barraged by a strobe effect for 10 minutes, essentially. And you're like, oh, okay. So this is, I assume, how Gaspar Noé feels about these battles that he's fighting in real life, and the characters are fighting in the movie, which is just, it's constant, and it's fucking in your face, and it's explosive, and it's just so annoying and repetitive, and it's just on and on and on and on and on, and my mind is on fire thinking about this stuff, and it's less than a Stranger Things episode. It's so short. That's why I love it. That's what I mean. I think I get something from this.
Fair enough. That's good.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's bad that you disliked it, but I think to say that nothing happens or that it's about nothing, I disagree with you. I can see your point. If I showed this to one of my friends, they'd walk out within 5 minutes. They wouldn't even last the conversation. Probably they'd turn off the minute they saw it was subtitled, which is a shame. But if they even got to the strobe effect, they'd be like, what is this? And I'm like, well, this is going to be the next 10 minutes. And they'd be like, what do you mean? And I'm like, it's going to strobe for 10 minutes. Why? And then you're getting into artistic interpretation questions. Why is it strobing? What's up to you? It's not going to come up on screen and say this equals this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a mathematic formula to figure out. I don't know what else to say. You're just looking at me blankly as if I'm talking a different language.
No, I'm just looking at, okay, you got so much things from the movie that I didn't and I just didn't like. It's not my kind of film.
But this is the thing. But you've seen... Have you seen Irreversible?
Yes.
Right.
But again, did I watch Irreversible thinking, oh, it's for the horror podcast?
No. I mean, I assume you watched it years ago.
Yeah. And I didn't find it as extreme as you found it.
Okay.
Like, oh my God, I can't see, watch the scene. I'm like, okay.
Have you seen Antichrist?
Yes. With Defoe. Willem.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe, yeah. Right? Presumably that didn't bother you either.
No.
Okay, have you seen Audition? I'm trying to think of all the ones that sort of tie me into this genre. Right?
The kitty 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 kitty.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen that one.
What is a film that affects you? This is what I'm trying to get at.
Martyrs.
Right, Martyrs.
That one, it was three times?
That's this genre of film. It's gorier. Of course it's gorier. It's Martyrs is insane with the gore. But it's the same vein to me. There's a direct...
Oh, okay.
And not just because they're French.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. No, that's fine. I just...
That's why I don't see the link. Podcast.
Yeah, I don't see the link, but fair enough. It's not my kind of movie. But I know there's going to be people that, as I said, is going to get inspired by it or like read so much about it. And but fair enough, good for you. If you're like that, watch it.
But when you say it's not your kind of film, but you're just talking about, oh yes, I've seen this film and I've seen this film and I've seen this film, you're just checking them off the ones I'm naming. At what point do you say like, well, are none of them your kind of film? Like none, I mean, I know they're not. Like, I know you're more of an Annabelle person, but...
Oh yes.
But like... Is this the point where you're like, no more. Gaspar Noé releases a film and no more.
No, I will keep watching because I know he likes to mix things and whatever and always do something to provoke an emotion from you.
Right, and this didn't to you. You got up and breathed.
Yeah, but I didn't like...
Unlock the window and stand.
So, okay, so you want me to only to judge the last 10 minutes?
No, because but it provoked something from you.
Okay, so I'm just going to say the 40 minutes of this movie is I hated.
Right.
I didn't like 10 minutes of the two women talking. I thought it was boring.
Yeah,
I
just said that already.
Exactly. So, again, I don't know why you can't put everything together, but why I didn't like it. So, I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. I was bored immediately. So, at least give me something at the start, or give me the flashbacks in the start, or give me like some light at the start, and I will be like, what's going on? And then cut it to maybe the conversation. But do only like 5 minutes max of people talking and they do the chaos and I will be okay, chaos, okay, what's going on? And I just thought it started really, really low and I was like, and then the chaos, okay, I'm a little bit more interested here of what's going on, what people saying this, not nobody agreeing with things, doing people doing phone calls in that side, the other one, we need you in the set, no, I need a phone call, we need you now, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of following here, but I don't know. I didn't like the subject. I don't know. I really don't know. But yeah, so, yeah, not for me. And yeah, I think that's the thing about this podcast. You know more about films or, you know.
It's not about knowing
more. No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
All the films I've named tonight, you've seen.
No, but I'm just trying to say that you know. Scared Truth Hussein is two people, Callum and Gisela, and Callum knows way more about movies, terms, and directors. I cannot even remember names of actors that I've seen currently role from a TV show that I watch every day, probably. I think I'm the more mainstream part of Scared Truth Hussein. And I think the regular people, yeah, definitely, this is not.
It's not for them. I agree. Yeah. So for horror movie virgins, I agree with you. But I'm saying, and as I said at the start,
watch it.
If you're wanting to go down that avenue, I think this is a good starting point. Okay. Because it's vanilla with its violence, and because it is it's like a greatest hits of who's who. It's a who's who of who are in these films, you know. if you follow their careers and their paths, and then you spiral out, and then you get the more violent, you get the more traumatizing stuff. But this little 50-minute package is going to annoy, it is going to annoy the shit out of you. I agree with that. It annoyed the shit out of me. It's a fucking strobe for 10 minutes. And I've said it 3 or 4 times. People are probably annoyed listening to us talk about it. But I think Lux Eterna, with what it does in under an hour, is a perfect jumping off point for someone who wants to go further.
It's all in the title. It's all in the title.
What?
Well, Lux, I mean, means light. Eterna, I mean, like, it's eternal.
I don't know. Does it mean that? I don't know.
Was no Latin.
Yeah, I assume so, but I don't speak Latin.
So, I imagine. So, it's all in the title. You're going to get a lot of light.
Yep.
So.
But you're going to get light from darkness.
Oh, God, it's getting deep. It's getting deep.
I think, I mean, this is a pretty short episode for us, but it's a short movie. There's not really much to say. I really liked it. Isella really did not. Does it class as a movie release this year? I don't actually know. In the UK, it does. If you're a fan of Gaspar Noé, let me know what you think. How does it compare with his other work? I think Climax, I think, is his best movie. He's just released Vortex, which came out in cinemas, and I reviewed for the Wii Review, so if you want to read that, please do, because I think it's one of the better reviews I've written, because I'm not that good a writer. I just do them because I used to get free films, but then COVID happened and cinemas shut down and all this sort of stuff, that now basically they just let us review stuff on Netflix, which is shite. But I got Climax through that. That's how I got Climax.
Oh.
I mean, we saw it at cinema, but I got it for free to review. So
yeah.
Yeah, so I wrote a review on Vortex. So it's Gaspar Noé month. He has a film out in cinemas and a film out on Blu-ray.
Well, my dad's called Noé. My brother too.
Yeah.
So that's my connection.
He's Argentinian.
Well, he's my dad and my brother are Mexican, yeah. So you know, same continent.
Yeah. Is it the same continent?
Yes.
Do you not split it North America and South America?
No, I mean the whole continent is the same continent. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what they teach in schools anymore, because I remember talking to people and they say like, oh yeah, that's the Americas. And then other people are like, it's two continents, North America and South America.
No, it's one continent.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think that gets taught differently in different countries.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's one continent and then it's kind of like saying Europe.
Yeah.
Is like three continents. And I'm like, what? Yeah, you divide the UK, actual Europe, and then the North.
No, but is it
places.
Not something to do with the tectonic plates?
Yeah, it has to do with that. Is it, so that's the
is
whole...
Is it just a single?
Yeah, it's a single. It's America.
So what's the fault line that lies in Los Angeles then?
Oh, San Andres.
Yeah, I know, but how is that a fault line if it's just one plate? What is a fault with?
Well, because...
I'm assuming it's rubbing up against something else.
No, well, eventually it's going to break... And that's going to separate the whole thing.
So it's cracked.
Yeah, it's a crack, basically. And it's super dangerous because that will make Canada, California, all that line, all the way from California to Canada to disappear.
Disappear?
So, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's going to have earthquakes and stuff like that. And they're going to sink.
Guys, why are you listening to a movie podcast? Countries are about to disappear.
Yes. Like, you didn't
shit's
know that.
About to get real, apparently.
Yes, that's why there's a lot of like earthquakes and shit. So be careful, people, if you're listening from America.
If you're listening to Canada.
Canada, California, all that line.
Apparently you are on the brink.
Oh. And they know. Have you seen that all these movies? Like San Andreas and... With The Rock?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, well. Yeah, they love talking. I started on a flight and then I fell asleep. So that doesn't say a lot about the movie, but I was tired. But yeah, anyway, so yeah. That's it. I don't know what else you want me to talk
about. No, I have nothing else to say.
Tomorrow we are gonna go watch a football match. Because Scotland is playing to get to the World Cup. Sadly, it's against Ukraine. But, yeah, it's really nice that there's a campaign here in Scotland for people to learn phonetically how to sing the Ukrainian national anthem. And I thought, that's super nice. So I'm going to try to learn it or try to, yeah.
You've only got to sing it.
So that's why 24 hours. So that's why I need to log off from here. And yeah, thank you for listening.
Gracias por escucharnos.
Y hasta la próxima.